And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Squamish, Seychelles, New York, California, Wyoming, San Jose, Costa Rica. Hey, let me know where you are. I'll give you a shout out. Time for Arts Live and Local. Gonna start the show out with music from my first guests, and then I'll let them tell you about it. And this is high tech. So let's all hope for the best. Thanks for being here, folks, on your one and only community radio station in this entire area till you get to Portland.
T-shirt, ja. Der Lenz ist da, seit kommen über Nacht.
Well, folks, I'm enjoying this way too much. And you, I'm sure, enjoying it also, and you can enjoy even more by showing up tomorrow evening at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, where my guest, he says that's his voice. Is that, ooh, is that, that's true, eh?
That is true, yes.
That is gorgeous.
Thank
absolutely
you. Thank
gorgeous. It always amazes me with opera, especially. Sometimes other music, but opera, you know, you're talking to someone and they sound like a normal human being, and then, wow, this extraordinary voice comes out, right? Barinas?
It's amen, sister. That's right.
I have two guests here, Brennan Guillory. Welcome to KMUN.
Thank you.
Is this your first time here at KMUN?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Not my first time in Astoria, though.
No, I know, because I recognized you. And have you been on radio before, though?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay.
A couple times, here and
so
there.
So we do have a KMUN version, not a radio version. He does, you know, he gets a few points on that. And with him is the reason he's here, or I should say the person who enabled him to be here, and that would be our own Barinas Jones Centeno. Hi, Barinas.
Hey, Carol.
And Barinas is a local. She also is one of our esteemed opera hosts on KMUN and KTCB, and that's on Sunday mornings. Wonderful show. How many hosts are there?
There are three of us, actually.
Three
Elizabeth
these.
Hayes and Teresa
DiLorenzo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's quite wonderful. And Barinas often chooses operas that nobody ever heard of. Or at least I never heard of. And I guess
that's saying a lot, Carol.
Yeah, well, I'm not, you know, I'm just one of those normal people, but I do love opera.
Introduced me the other day to something I had never heard of, so don't you act like you don't know this stuff.
Good, good. Okay. Oh, yeah. I said it's nice to have people like that. Brennan, where do you live?
I live in McMinnville, Oregon, so not too far from here.
Okay. Yeah. And you are part of?
I'm a part of Cascadia Concert Opera, as well as Ping and Wolf Opera, and a bunch of other things. Those are two of the Northwestern organizations.
What was the second one you mentioned?
Ping and Wolf, which is a little tiny opera company that my friend Jocelyn Claire Thomas, who's also singing tomorrow night, kind of started with a friend of hers, and her husband Zach is going to be singing, and we have some other people, from Northwest Singers, who are going to be doing Pagliacci.
And that's Ping and Woof, W-O-O-F.
That's what I wrote, P-I-N-G and W-O-O-F.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the ping is that sound that kind of cuts through the orchestra and goes to the back of the hall. And
or
the
your
woof,
head.
Over the back of your head, through your ears, and out the other side.
Is that an official name?
Ping? Yeah, it actually is. Wow. We talk about ping.
Okay.
And the wolf is that hefty sort of chest part of the voice that brings that depth and power into the sound. And so that's where they got the name.
Good. Well, you're definitely a woofer.
A bit. I like to think I have some ping, too. Yes. Otherwise, no one would hear me.
I'm sure. No doubt about that. Barinas, why don't you tell us first about Cascadia Concert Opera and what's going on? Very exciting news.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen tomorrow night? And then I'll come back to Brennan.
Sure. So Cascadia now is called Cascadia Chamber Opera because we do a lot of chamber works now. We're broadening ourselves up. We originally started off as a concert opera group, which is stand and sing, no staging, no moving around on stage, no costumes. Mm-hmm. It's just stand and present the music, and then you hear the beauty of the voice. And but because we also started doing some other stuff as we travel up and down the I-5 corridor, bringing opera to various places, we additionally started to actually do staged works. Like last year here in Astoria, we presented Tango of the White Gardenia,
amazing.
For reacting that nicely.
Well, it was fabulous. Yeah.
Thank you. I think they were pretty doggone amazing.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was during that time of preparing for that, we realized that we were doing staged works, we were doing concertized, we were doing everything. So we changed our names to Chamber because we also bring in orchestras or little small ensembles. So, and so this year, we're kind of going to return a little bit to our original situation where it was basically standing and singing. That's concert.
Mm-hmm.
And so tomorrow, you all will get to hear a fantastic ensemble of some of the singers that we've worked with. And you saw Zach and Jocelyn last year doing the Tango of the White Gardenia. And they're going to be performing here again tomorrow along with Brennan in I Pagliacci. It's going to be a very short but powerful presentation from them.
And you mentioned zipping or perhaps pinging up and down the I-5 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So when the group started, the plan was to present operas with artists that are living up and down the I-5 corridor who don't necessarily want to picking up and traveling all over the country or all over the world mm-hmm. to perform, mm-hmm. but are still quite involved in the art form. So that's one side of the I-5 corridor statement. And then the other is that we tour. We wanted to make sure that all kinds of people got to hear opera. We know that not everybody travels across to Portland or whatever to go see opera. They don't necessarily. Some do. Many do. But not everybody either has the means to afford the trip or the ticket or some version of that.
Or they haven't really been introduced to opera because mm-hmm. it's not running around on the radio or on the unless you really look for it, and they don't even know how wonderful it is.
And that's the other piece. We like the smaller venues, the ability to get to people up close and personal. That's really important to us. That's why something like doing it at the PAC is right up our alley. It's a 200 plus seat house where people can feel the vibration of that ping and the woof.
So. That- Yeah, I'm going to work that into my, not quite sure how yet, but I'm going to give it a try. So, Brennan, have you done a lot of different roles? Why don't you tell us, answer that, but also tell us what we were just listening to.
Yeah, that was Das Lied von der Erde, which is a Mahler piece. It's sort of, he was afraid of doing a Ninth Symphony because everyone since Beethoven never got theirs done, so he did this instead. It's not an opera. It's more of like an orchestral song cycle. It's a big piece, like all of his pieces are. So I do a lot of work with orchestras and orchestral things, and then I've done a lot of different roles. Everything from Alfredo. I did the Don and Don Giovanni. I've done Florestan and Fidelio. I've done Carmen and Traviata. I just did my first Wagner. I did Die Walküre. A kind of a broad swath, a lot of many different roles.
Mm-hmm. And he also does a great Irish tune or two, too.
Well, a couple of Irish tunes, yes.
Well, okay, folks, I wasn't going to say anything, but did you notice the name? Brennan Guillory is the way he pronounces it. But if you saw how it was spelled, you would say, what is this? What is this name?
Well, Brennan's Irish. So my mom's family is from New Orleans, and my dad's family is from southern Louisiana. So we grew up in a Cajun family. The two main parts of Louisiana is New Orleans and Cajun country. And so I'm sort of a blend of those, and I guess that's in my name as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, shout out to my people in Nova Scotia, Nouvelle-Écosse. Mm-hmm. Lance de Bellevaux, we were talking about all the ways that that language. And as long as I'm giving shout-outs, I've got a shout-out for MJ. Hey, Marion, thank you so much for calling in from Delta Junction, Alaska,
Yay.
Who is listening to
that's
this
great.
Show right now. And that's lovely. So do you mostly stay in the Pacific Northwest? Is that your...
Yeah, I've been, you know, every once in a while I get out to the East Coast and sing, or I've been to England about two or three times, Canada a couple times as well. Mainly working with people I knew before, colleagues.
Mm-hmm. How does one break into professional opera? You didn't have that voice when you were 6 years.
No, it can be a tough gig, and there's lots of ways of doing it and not doing it. And it's changed so much since I was young and getting into it too. I don't even know if I could give a competent answer on that these days.
He's not that old, let me just say, but clearly. So when did your voice develop to such deep richness? You're a tenor.
Right.
But what we just heard was not...
That came, yeah. My voice type typically develops later. And so I wouldn't say I really had my feet under me until I was in my early 20s, like early mid-20s, 22, 23, 24. And I probably didn't really find my voice until I was probably 30-ish, if I'm honest.
And did you know, though, at a certain time in your life that singing was what you wanted to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was high school.
Yeah.
I went to college to major in music. And
the truth of the matter is you're already singing. you know, as mm-hmm. a kid, there's already this yeah. talent or gift or whatever right. that you have. But right. the decision to make a profession of it as a classical music singer, mm-hmm. that comes a lot later because it's you don't even understand how your body is working to create right. the formants and all of that kind of
right.
thing. So that's a later decision.
Barinas, was that true for you as well?
Yeah, I loved singing and that kind of thing, but didn't know that there was this thing called opera really to perform right. until much later. It takes a while to make that decision. Some do kind of know, probably because they have parents who mm-hmm. are right. classically mm-hmm. trained musicians or yeah. whatever, who are like, ooh, you've got some skill, and so they put the kid right away.
It's a trade. In a lot of ways, it's yep. a trade. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely. Knowing how that trade works and the business of it and everything mm-hmm. else is a part of it.
Working your butt off mm-hmm. to it's hard work yeah. and I've mentioned before I have great admiration for people who depend upon their voice as their instrument.
Mm. Totally,
you can't replace a string or mm-hmm. borrow someone's guitar when yeah. or use a traveling piano kind of thing mm-hmm. right. when it's your voice. So. Yeah. Means yeah. you really need to...
It has its own distinct advantages and disadvantages. I mean, I don't have to have an extra big car to put a harp in either.
Right,
or have to pay for my cello on the airplane.
Right. You know? Yeah. You can carry it with you in a small box.
That's
right.
Right. It's a little box.
Yeah. Right. So tell us about I Pagliacci and what we're going to...
Pagliacci is a classic... tragedy. It's one of the early Verismo operas. It's one of those operas that's like about normal, quote unquote, normal people. It was actually based on a newsletter article or a newspaper article. It's about a clown who's in a show. The show is he plays the main clown, and his wife is basically having an affair with this character named Arlequin, the Harlequin. Mm. Meanwhile, in real life, his wife is having an affair with someone in the town.
Yeah, it's a
and let's just
the
say
play.
The irony is not lost on the situation. And jealousy, rage, murder.
Lovely.
And guess what? Someone dies.
Someone dies.
Okay. More than one person dies.
And it's a very, you know, Reedy Pagliacci.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very famous aria is from that. And it's probably one of the... It was the Nessun Dorma before Nessun Dorma.
Totally.
It was a very well-known tenor aria mm-hmm. that everyone knew and loved.
Wow.
Very, mm-hmm. very popular in the popular world. Yeah.
And how many folks are going to be performing tomorrow night? And what are their voices?
There will be six.
Five
singers.
Myself, Jocelyn Claire Thomas, the soprano, is playing my wife, Nedda. Stacey Murdoch is playing Tonio, who is one of the one of the other characters or one of the other actors in the show. He plays sort of a what did he call
meddler.
Him? Meddler, yes.
That's a good word.
Scott Crandall is another person who works in the show. He plays the Harlequin, and then Zach Lennox, who is actually Jocelyn's husband, is playing Nedda's lover Silvio. They have this beautiful duet in the middle of the aria.
Is there going to be? Can people?
Yeah, there will be.
Oh,
this is
languages?
Really super important to say. Thank you. It's going to be sung in Italian. Thank goodness. And there will be super titles. Thank goodness, which will be easy to read in the back. Evan Paul is going to be playing the piano, I'm going to just quickly say the reason this is here is mm-hmm. because myself and other board members from Cascadia Chamber Opera were quickly running down after we did our little note meeting that we had here in Astoria for our town hall to make mm-hmm. sure that there's support for opera, mm-hmm. and there is. Thank you all. We quickly whisked down to Portland to hear their performance, and we thought, we've got to find a way to get this performance up to Astoria because it was just really wonderful work. Mm. We thought, Astoria will love this. Astoria
Folks,
deserves to hear this.
This is tomorrow evening, Saturday.
Tomorrow afternoon.
I'm sorry, it's 3 o'clock. Yeah, it says it right there in my handwriting. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin. Tickets at the door. And it's the acoustics there are excellent. Mm-hmm. And... no matter what the weather is, even if it's a gorgeous day, this is a beautiful way to infuse your life with the ping and woof of life.
Exactly. And it's only about an hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
So you can, you know, whatever you're outside doing, run in your shorts. If you've been gardening, over real quick, catch it, and go back to your gardens.
Wow. More inspired. Inspired.
More inspired.
You'll find yourself saying. And even though there's somebody dies, is it suitable for all ages or...
Yes, mostly because it's in Italian. but yes, it is suitable for all ages.
You know, that's funny you say that because I ushered for opera when I was in college. And I used to laugh at when it was in English because I was thinking, mother. You know, I'm going like, it would be better if it were in Italian or French or German or any.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But wonderful. Well, Brennan Guillory, thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you back in Astoria for many more performances tomorrow evening at the PAC, June 1st at 3 p.m. And don't forget to tune in. Barinas, when is your next opera show?
On Sunday morning.
This
coming Sunday? Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Should I say what we're doing?
Sure.
Candide. I'm excited.
That's a little different from this.
It's going to be a little different from this one.
And that is 9 till
noon on Sunday.
9
morning.
To noon on KMUN and KTCB or coastradio.org or the TuneIn app with KMUN. And Barinas is really, she's an educator, I forgot to mention, as well as an opera singer. And I really appreciate the clarity of the story, hearing that before I go. Even if it's sung in English, it's not that easy to understand.
Totally. Yep, that's true.
So, and that way you can just relax and enjoy. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in. I don't know whether we say break a leg to an opera singer. Is
toy,
that okay?
Toy.
Yes.
Toy.
Do you know where that? I know you do. Do you know where that comes from?
Well, I've heard lots of different things. Okay. I heard it's like spitting over a shoulder or something like that.
It's a Yiddish thing, actually.
Yeah.
Twee, twee, twee.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Spit three times for
good luck. Because knocking on wood isn't so. Anyway, okay. Well, we'll practice that along with the ping.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much for coming in.
You're adorable. Okay. Thank you, Carol.
And I do have some music for you from Will West and the Friendly Strangers. Something entirely different from what we've been listening to. And they are going to be at the Fort George this Sunday evening. There's music there every Sunday at 8 p.m. It's an open venue, and it's for all age, actually, although the music may or may not be in it. It's a school night, let's get real. So, but they are a terrific band. I heard them last time they were here. Thanks for being here on KMUN, KTCB.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, we're gonna do it. Said one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, we're gonna take a ride now. Up today. Decided to take a look at this world around me. Possessions in my mind, guiding all these days. Let's take a look around, make it shine again now. All these days remain the same, looking for ways to diffuse all this pain. And it's not the days that need to change, it's the way we see we must hear. Attempt to rearrange. Oh, and now, and it's all around me, but I don't hear, not even see it now. All around us, but we don't even find.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we're gonna do
so
it.
So breathe in.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we're gonna do it.
To feel alive.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're gonna do it.
Breathe
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine,
take a ride.
We're gonna do it
now.
Again.
Now.
brush my teeth, off to work again. Ready for my Friday to come around. Quit living for the weekend, no, we gotta. Quit living for the weekend, no, we gotta. Quit living for the weekend, no, we should be living for today. But I know all these days remain the same. Looking for ways to diffuse all this pain. And it's not the days that need to change. It's the way we see we must here attempt to rearrange. So now, and it's all around me, but I don't hear, nor even see it now. All around us, but we don't even find.
Counting in Spanish to practice my Spanish. Hey, that's Will West and the Friendly Strangers. And let me tell you, they really are friendly in addition to being quite wonderful musicians. And so check that out. Remember, it is all age at the Fort George until a certain time. I'm not sure what that time is. I'm sure you can find out easily. Well, my next guests are, there are three of them here, ooh, and two of them are you students?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that was nice. I didn't even do this. You know, they came. And the other is not. So, Ryan Hume is the instigator, and I'm not sure because he is a freelance writer, and you see his name all over the place. But in this case, we are here to talk about Rain Magazine, the 50th edition, which is amazing because there's no one in this room except me who's even that old. Now, if you put them all together, they're gone. But my other two guests are Elizabeth Winters, who has been here before. Hi.
Hello. Beth.
And a brand new guest to this show. I don't know if she's been on radio before.
I have not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're too young for me to use my line on. So Sophie Breitmeyer is here with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your introduction to radio.
Thank you so much.
I'm very pleased to be the first. So this is happening. The reading and reception is happening on June 7th, which is, we're not into June yet. So that's Friday, isn't it?
It is next Friday, yeah,
next
a week from
Friday,
now.
Yeah, a week from tonight. And it's happening at from 5 to 8:30 p.m. at Towler Hall Commons. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe Ryan can tell you. The college has all these buildings. The names seem to stay the same. I've been here 45 years. The names are the same, but the buildings themselves keep changing, and the entrances change. So I'm not sure. I guess you just get yourself up to the college area. What would you say?
Yeah. I believe Tyler used to be the old Astoria High School. Is that correct?
Way back.
Yeah, and it's been retrofitted and changed quite a bit since then.
Yeah.
Probably the easiest entrance is off Lexington.
Is that between, by the library, kind of?
Yeah. You can, because where we're meeting is the Commons on the third floor. So if you park up above, it's an easier walk in.
Right. It's right there.
And it's right across the kind of the sky bridge there. Yeah.
Sky bridge.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a little bridge past Patriot Hall.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
That's good. I like it. A sky bridge in Astoria. It sounds like a poem to me. Speaking of which, Rain Magazine is not just poetry, but I'm honored to have two young Astoria poets. I think, do you live in Astoria?
Yes.
And you live in Astoria?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you grew up across the river.
Oh, yeah, so not a far cry.
No,
and I went to Star of the Sea, so this has always felt like my home away from home.
Definitely. And Ryan, are you the overall editor? Is that your title, kind of?
It's been interesting. We talked to a lot of the people, of old faculty who've worked on this over the year for the issue. So I prefer the term advisor.
Okay.
And we're all kind of the editorial board. We make the decisions together.
That's why I was having a problem, because all of your class, they're all editors.
Oh, correct.
And
yeah.
So I wasn't sure what your, how to single you out, except to say you're older than the rest of them, but not necessarily. You may have some older students.
It's varied year to year, yeah.
So how does this work? Is it a regular class that you are both involved in? Is that how you become part of Rain Magazine? You can speak up.
So it's a class for credit. It's called Writing 270. It's an arts and letters credit, and essentially you sign up and you become a part of the staff, and you get to work on the entire magazine. Everybody works on their own part, but we also work collectively on everything a little bit.
And what would your own part be?
I worked primarily on editing, like as far as grammar and stuff like that goes.
Okay. For everybody's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. That's a big job. Yeah.
I had help. I had lots of help.
I'm sure. I mean, that's... How many pages is this magazine?
Oh, wow. This might be one of our longer ones. I believe it ended up at about 156 pages.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah. No, so we have lots of content. A lot more short fiction than we've had in the last few years, as well as nonfiction. And this year we have a lot of interviews, and both Elizabeth and Sophie conducted an interview with an old staff member.
Who did you interview?
I interviewed Nancy Cook.
Okay. Yeah, she was, when was she the editor? I think she was just right the last one, wasn't she, before you, Ryan?
There was 2 years that Allison Roosh did it in between when Nancy...
Oh, right, that's true.
And,
yeah.
So I want to say from like just off the top of my head, like 2006 to 2014.
Yeah.
And that's, I was wondering, how long is the tenure usually of?
As long as the human body can muster it, and then then somebody moves on, takes over.
Okay.
Being the advisor is a lot more work than you'd think.
I would expect that to be, because how many students are there, or student editors like yourselves?
This year we had 7.
Okay.
It varies. Last year we had 4, which was not enough.
Right.
The year before I had 12, which was great. Having 7 was a great group. Everybody chimed in, and that's always, when people can find a project that they want to do, that's really important.
Yeah. And did you get to choose, for example, Sophie, did you choose to do editing because you're good at that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm an English major, so that was what I wanted to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also write.
I do.
Yeah, we heard about that before you even came to town, actually. We like our people to be in the arts, some of us. So we then we were very pleased to hear them. And what was your job this time, Elizabeth?
Oh, I don't know if I had one specific task. I definitely did a lot of the general stuff. I didn't do much of the formatting, like in InDesign. That was definitely way over my head. And I'm glad we had Lucian to help us and some students who were a little more proficient. But I typed up a lot of stories that we got that were sent through the mail. And I did some editing, too. And
So what I'm hearing, though, is that in addition to the content, you are also learning how to put together a publication, which is not always the funnest part.
It has its moments. I really like design, and so working that stuff out is fun. And a lot of the other students will gravitate specifically towards that, or they're taking a graphic design class as well. Right. But so, you know... we try to give everyone a bit of a potpourri, or at least to learn the general concepts of editing style and working on computers. But people tend to gravitate towards one thing or another.
Okay, so these are the nuts and bolts of Rain Magazine. The essence is a gorgeous, I have many. Over the years, somehow I'm not able to part with them because they're beautiful. In addition to the written word, we also have images and photographs. Is that true this year, too?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. And work by people of all ages, some who are very well known and some who are just beginning. So who decides what goes into the magazine?
Every single one of us. We all have to take a vote.
You get together as a group?
Yeah.
We do numerous editorial meetings for most of the quarter. I mean, usually about halfway through, we're generally kind of done.
We're getting there, but this time it took us like 8 weeks. It did. People just
a lot
kept sending things.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, well, and it's the 50th edition. I'm just wondering, is this kind of a course, this coursework, creating something like that, is that part of, for example, a university English department? I've never heard of it. I took, English classes in college. Mm-hmm. I never heard of it. Well, that was a long time ago, of course, but...
Well, so I did a master's program at Portland State that was all editing and design, and it Ooligan Press is
nice.
It's called the publishing program, but the press itself. So we put out real world books, and we went through the entire editorial board process from acquisitions to editing to design to promotion. For me, this is a smaller kind of microcosm version of all of that.
Yeah.
So they are out there. Yeah, and they're kind of growing in popularity. Especially with university presses, why not?
It's
make terrific. It an educational.
Well, it's experience. Also I know with a lot of artists, visual artists, for example, the hardest part is marketing. Mm-hmm. So with writing as well, getting yourself into something. So learning how to do this can be part of. And I'm wondering to that end, Sophie, have you been writing all your life?
I have. I've been writing since I was very, very little.
And is that how you decided to become an English major?
Yeah. Ideally, in a perfect world, and I'm going to try anyway, I would like to be a novelist and a poet. But at the same time, I really enjoy some of the more hands-on stuff. I'd like to be a teacher as well. And so that's sort of how I got involved. And I sort of just fell into the English major. But I'm really grateful for a class like this because it gives you a lot of hands-on experience. As much as I like writing a good essay, in this class I'm able to really see the process from beginning to end. And I'm really grateful for that.
And are you a full-time student at CLATSA?
I am.
What year is this?
This is my second.
Second. So does that mean you'll probably go finish up somewhere else?
Or? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this class will be part of your credits.
Yes.
Nice. Nice. And mostly, do you write poetry or prose? Or
mostly poetry.
Mostly poetry. But you want to be a novelist, so I'm sure you'll make it. You got time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Elizabeth? Are you dealing with the academics of this as well? Do you have a major? I don't know whether students at Clatsop immediately have majors, or you pick that up when you go on, or why?
Well, I know at least my intended major is psychology, which definitely isn't writing, but I feel through my writing, through understanding other people's writing, that kind of adds into the understanding of a whole person, because eventually I want to be a therapist. So although career-wise I don't really want to write, it's always been something that's been really special to my heart, and I at least want it as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'll fall into it when I'm like 40.
Or it may always be with you. You may, especially if you're working with people.
And there's a great tradition of doctor writers in American letters. William Carlos Williams, for example.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? Now, did you bring a poem that you can share with us?
Yeah, I brought one poem that will be in Rain Magazine.
I'd like to hear it. How many pages is it?
Oh, it's just one.
Oh, good.
It's short.
I see that. Three pages, and I'm going, ah! Okay, let's hear it. Elizabeth right. Winters.
So this one is titled Over the Bridge. Blinks of white blip in and out of sight, strolling over the bridge. Motor vehicle voyagers manifest as glitter going over the bridge. I was coaxed by twinkling city lights and a lover's sigh to move a state over. Albeit an Astorian now, my Washington crowd waits just over the bridge. From my window I gaze across the river, counting familiar places, for my livelihood and my childhood home exist just over the bridge. I routinely cross the infamous graveyard of the Pacific undisturbed. The raging river never ruffled my feathers as I flew over the bridge. The ravenous mouth of the Columbia has devoured shipfuls of men, the souls of sailors swallowed by the Pacific long to cross over the bridge. I'm a naive and semi-competent swimmer, now frigid in the river. I will learn to sink or swim as fire roars over the bridge. I am discontent and restless to begin once again. Something magnificent is waiting just over the bridge.
All right, nice, very nice, very nice. And that's funny because I didn't know what you were going to read, but we mentioned the Washington-Oregon connection.
Yeah.
Were you Nancy Cook's student?
Yes, I had her one time for her poetry class.
Okay, and how about you, Sophie? Are you taking?
Yes, I've taken a class with Nancy before.
And are there other people teaching? Ryan, do you teach writing as well?
I do.
Yeah, I'm thinking you must, because I've read, your name just keeps popping up all over the place.
I usually teach writing composition and advanced composition.
Okay, yeah. But that's a separate class from this. This is specifically
Literary publications is
right.
The name of the course. Yeah.
Right.
And also with Elizabeth's poem, we were able to hook it up with a really cool photo of the bridge taken by Kim Rose Adams. So thank you, Kim, if you're listening.
I love her
thank
stuff.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, she's quite wonderful. She brought back some great photos from Cuba as well.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us, you don't have it with you, but tell us what you have in Rain Magazine.
So I have a couple poems published, in this edition of Rain. They're both fairly... They're about personal relationships, and they're very, a lot of my poetry is very intimate and very honest. It's a space where I feel like I can really express myself honestly.
Nice.
I have a trouble sometimes conveying my feelings if they're not on the written page.
Mm-hmm.
So,
boy, you know, that just leads back into the studying psychology too, because, right.
Yeah.
For so many, that is the case.
Definitely.
Ryan?
Oh, and I was going to say, this is the second year that Sophie has taken this course. She helped on last year's Rain as well, and also your second year publishing in Rain.
Nice. Lovely. Lovely. Well, congratulations to both of you. And Ryan, thank you for taking the helm. How long have you been advising?
So this will be the third issue, the one that we're putting out now.
Okay.
And I hope to make it four if they'll have me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds wonderful. Again, folks, this is Rain Magazine. This is the 50th edition. If you don't know what we're talking about, you'll have to go from what you heard from Sophie Breitmeyer and Elizabeth Winters and their advisor, Ryan Hume. And also, this is a community. This is a magazine that's been published through the college for 50 years. And
give or take.
Not every year. Yeah. Right. But over the period. And the idea is that anyone in the community can submit work, and then young people, not so young people, serve and work together to decide what goes in. You'll have a chance to experience. It's a delightful evening. I love the Rain Magazine reading and reception. All of these folks, you're going to read yours that night, aren't you, Sophie?
I hope they both will.
I'm sure Elizabeth will.
We'll do our best.
Yes. And all of the, not everyone, but many of the readers will be reading and the artwork is around, and it's a wonderful experience. This is happening a week from tonight, 5 to 8:30. And you don't have to, if you have something else happening that night, you can sit towards the back and leave if you have to, but I highly recommend you experience this wonderful community endeavor. Towler Hall Commons up at the Clatsop Community College. Thank you so much for coming in, Sophie, you. Elizabeth, and Ryan.
Is it okay if I thank our sponsors really quick?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you to Blue Scorcher and the Astoria Co-op and Bowie Beer are going to help us have some nice goodies on hand as well.
Okay. So. I almost said something about those goodies. They are really good every year.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. And I have some more music and one more guest coming in. And the music is from Hans Araki. He will be here in Astoria June 14th. It is a house concert. So if you want to know where and what, you know the what, the where, give me a call at 4 o'clock and I'll let you know. Here he is.
I've been loving you a long time. Down all the years, down all the days. And I've cried for all your troubles. Smiled at your funny little ways. We watched our friends grow up together. And we saw them as they fell. Some of them fell into heaven. Some of them fell into hell. I took shelter from a shower. And I stepped into your arms. On a rainy night in Soho, the wind was whistling all your charms. I sang.
That's Hans Araki, and he will be here on June 14th at a house concert, and you too can enjoy it. I have my last guest here. I do want to mention to you that tonight is the last night for the Liberty Readers Theater at 7 o'clock. Old Ringers, I saw it last night. It's outrageous. It's very funny. And the actors are terrific. There's lots going on in town. By the way, today is Walt Whitman's 200th birthday, speaking of poetry. And the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum all week is having an exhibit, Coming Home. And there's a Shabbat service tonight in Seaside. And tomorrow there's, oh my goodness, there's so much going on. Don't forget about I Pagliacci. And Astoria Library has storyteller Marco Davis starting off Pride Month at 10:30 a.m. with books sharing about sharing and love. And then at 7 o'clock, a Holocaust story with the daughter of Polish Holocaust rescuer Irene Gut-Opdyke, who is one of the righteous Gentiles. Thank you. Napton Cove Heritage is also having an affair, and Hoffman is happening all day with painting and art reception. That brings me to Sunday. And in addition to Will West Sunday night and the Halem Bay Winery with 2 to 5 Bruce Smith Band and Astor Street Opry with auditions for the Olio, I have my next guest. And that would be Sandy Nielsen. Hi, Sandy.
Oh, hi, Carol.
And Sandy is here from Pacific County, which is right across the river from Astoria on the Washington side. And she is part of the Pacific County Immigrants Support. And they are having their second annual Summer Salsa fundraiser. I was there last year, and it was quite wonderful. It is happening this Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Shelburne Inn in Seaview. And I'm going to let Sandy tell us what Pacific County Immigrant Support is and what the event is and why it's so important. There you go, Sandy.
Okay, thanks for that,
you
Carol.
Bet.
PCIS, as we call ourselves, has had formal status as a nonprofit for a year and a half. And during that time, we've helped more than 16 families with things like rent, food, utilities. But lately, we've had to branch out a little bit more. People who are being picked up used to be able to say, okay, the bond's going to be around $5,000. Now it's more like $15,000 or $20,000. So for families where the wage earner is in prison, probably in Tacoma, how do they come up with money like that? It's just a struggle.
And when you say picked up, we're talking by ICE.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're doing this kind of silent auction combination of things on Sunday. The owners of the Shelburne have been kind enough to not only give us the space to do it for the second year in a row, but furnishing all the food.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So they're wonderful people, and we couldn't do it without them. And we have very artists' creations and some interesting special deals from friends of the group. And for the first time, we're highlighting one of the artists.
Mm.
She's a young woman who grew up and was trained as a jewelry expert and designer. And her name is Louisa Mack.
Yes.
You're shaking your head.
Well, she's been on this show several times.
Okay, well, all right.
She's from Germany, originally.
Right, she's a delightful person. And
gorgeous work.
You've seen that, too.
Oh, I have been in her studio.
It's very modern and yet not cold and not stark.
She's
very nice.
Oh,
and she has this beautiful little shop down in the water in Ilwaco.
On Howerton, yeah.
Yeah, so she's going to be at the event, too, and you can chat with her, and she's just fun to talk to.
You know, one of the fun things about going to her studio, it's a gallery, a shop, and a studio, is she realized, unless she wanted to hire somebody else, that it would be better to just work right there. So she's got a space set up, and you get to go in and see her working as well as see the beautiful work. And I know she has other artists' work there, too, like Penny Treat and some others.
She does.
Oh, how delightful. I didn't realize that. I know you are having music.
Yes. Brian O'Connor, who plays guitar and sings, Barbara Bate, who will be at the piano as usual, mm-hmm. and some of you have heard the Oyster Crackers.
Oh, yeah, they've been here, too. Oh, they're okay. fabulous.
Well, yes. those are all local talent people, and, yes. and we certainly wanted to utilize them, and they're happy to be with us.
Yes, that's wonderful. So everybody is donating their efforts and their food, as you say, and their space to support.
One of the things that is different this year as well, one of the newer families that we're working with is just in a terrible situation. I don't know how they hold it together, because not only was he picked up by ICE, but they had trouble with the local police. And so when he was in court for the police situation, ICE picked him up and took him to Tacoma. So, you know, it's one of those situations where... Yeah. There he goes. Yeah. He was working as a logger. That's not happening anymore. Yes. So he is going to be able to speak to us by video from the Tacoma Detention Center. And his wife will translate. Well, she's not his wife. She's his partner. Mm-hmm. She will translate his Spanish into English and let us know what's happening.
That's quite powerful. Now, how did this come about? How did PCIS
PCIS,
organization? Yeah.
Well, I think Anne Reese had a lot to do with it. She was became active in Move On from ACLU, and it was just sort of an outgrowth of some of the things that she learned working in that organization.
Who is that?
It was happening all around us. My neighbors were being picked up, everyone.
Yeah.
So we knew there was a need.
So this is a small community, and you see it happening. You see people disappearing.
Right.
And this is happens all over the world. And I just announced that there is a woman who's, her name is Jeannie Smith. She's the daughter of Polish Holocaust rescuer Irene Good-Opdyke. And I can just imagine that in the early 40s, this woman put her life on the line to help Jews who were being taken away and murdered. And in this case, allegedly, they're not being murdered. But when you take someone away from their family and their home and lock them up, it's a psychological
death. Changes their lives
as well,
entirely.
Not to mention the entire family.
Yes,
so,
right.
Yeah.
And the fear that people live under, the places they won't go anymore because they're afraid.
How sad. You know, sad for the whole community.
Right.
That's, yeah.
And most of these people have been in the States 15, 20 years. You know, people say, well, why didn't they get citizenship? If you knew how expensive, how difficult, how frightening it is to go on the line and let the government know where you are,
mm-hmm.
because then they have the upper hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's gotten worse and worse when people step forward to try to do things the right way and are unable to do so. Well, I very much appreciate, and I know there are a lot of us on this side of the river who are very impressed with the amazing work that folks in Pacific County have done to help your community and support your local people. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And again, this is happening now. Is there a website that people can buy tickets or donate?
At the door.
Mm-hmm. At the door.
And if you go online, PCIS supports is capital PCIS capital, and then the rest of the word supports in lowercase.
PCI support with a capital
dot
S.
.com. .org.
.org.
Right.
And so you can buy your ticket there. And if you can't get there, that's okay. The money's going to a good place. Or you can make a donation there as well if you feel so moved. But I tell you, it's going to be a great time. There's going to be, it's not a sad event. It's when you see this community come together, it's a beautiful event. And so thank you so much, Sandy, for coming in and for being such an active part of the Pacific County Immigrant Support. Again, this is Summer Salsa happening this Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Shelburne Inn in Seaview. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm just going to put on a little bit of music from Harold Haugard. and Helene Bloom from Denmark. They are going to be part of the Scandinavian / Nordic Festival this year. It's coming up really soon. Thanks, folks, for being here. KMUN Astoria, KTCP Tillamook, CoastRadio.org, wherever you are, do something that you're proud of.